Roto Grinders presents your first word in daily fantasy sports.
Let's go!
The Morning Grind. Stevie, TPFL, and company are here to jumpstart your analysis on today's DFS slate.
Let's go!
Without further ado, here's your host, Stephen Young.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Roto Grinders Morning Grind podcast. I'm your host, Stevie TPFL. February, it's the 16th of February. It's 2017. It is a Thursday. Only two basketball games to talk about tonight. So the pod's probably going to talk about those two games. We're going to sidetrack on some hockey. We're going to sidetrack on some NASCAR. We're going to sidetrack on some Siege rants. That's what we do on this podcast. On
you know, we could also side rant on some questions. We could ask for questions.
We should have did that before we lock and loaded here. Too late, but...
You know what? I'm just going to do it right now. Maybe we'll get a good question or two.
All right, well, you do that. I'll retweet it. Maybe we'll answer some questions here towards the end of the podcast. Pretty open today. If this was a live broadcast, it'd be interesting. But really, two games end up here right before the NBA All-Star break. Wasn't going to do an NBA podcast today. We had talked about it on Monday. And then I pulled up like the DraftKings lobby and $500,000, $4 tournament. And it's like, if I don't do a podcast, I'm going to get so many tweets that we're going to have to do it. This podcast, as always, probably going to be very tournament-driven. Do not play cash games on a two-game slate, right? Like, just don't do that.
I guess I haven't tried to build a cash lineup. Like, I guess I probably shouldn't laugh at it. Like, maybe there's, like, this, like, a super, super optimal team, and I should just play it, and then, like... But I'm assuming that it's just silly, but I could be wrong.
Yeah, you can do that.
I'm not saying I'm going to. I guess I shouldn't assume before I try to build something.
I'll probably make one optimal team. I got a busy day tomorrow, and that's kind of it for me probably on this two-game slate.
Yeah. No, I'm trying to build something really quickly, and it's actually pretty simple. So maybe I will play cash.
There you go. You can play cash. I'm not.
Not playing cash, CB. Do I ever play cash?
Listen, I'm just making sure that our listeners know that cash on a two-game slate is not a good idea.
Yeah, no, it's not.
All right, let's get into this little slate here. Two games, Washington at Indy, 217 total. Washington favored by two in this game. Thaddeus Young, doubtful. Lavoie Allen, doubtful. And that's really the only injury news here. Looking at the Washington side first, we like attacking Indy with power forwards. Markieff Morris, 6,900. Is it too much, or can we lock and load him here?
I don't think it's too much on a two-game slate. Like, the multipliers that you're going to need are probably not your normal 6 or 7x, right? So I don't mind taking Markieff. You look at the power forward position, and it's kind of weak. So I don't mind Markieff. I also don't mind Otto Porter. I don't mind any of those, either of those directions.
John Wall, 10-7?
No. Like on a two-game slate, I get to – like, I feeding the most expensive player on two-game slates is, like, something I love to do. And when it's a guy who's overpriced as is, it's just even better.
Over under on 35% ownership.
Higher.
Yeah, I agree.
I think if you gave me 50, I would think about it.
Again, we're a tournament-driven podcast today. We are not playing John Wall. I think he's an easy fade for me as well, CJ. I like the Otto Porter call. People are not going to pay that price for him. I like Markieff Morris a lot. I think this is a great spot to attack Markieff Morris. I think that he'll be under-owned because of his price. His last three games, he's averaging about 10 fantasy points over his season average. He's just been phenomenal. Like, this guy's been a beast, and there's no reason not to play him in this matchup.
I can't think of any reason not to either. It's a two-game slate, and it's just like, I'm gonna roll with the guys. Like, I'm gonna play one team, maybe one, maybe zero. But like, if I'm playing a slate like this, I'm rolling with the guys that I like watching, and I want to just like, if John Wall goes off, that will just provide me no excitement or joy. So I'm not gonna do that.
Yeah,
and I like Markieff Morris, so I'll roster him. I like rostering Otto Porter. I'll do that. I don't like rostering Paul George. I will not do that.
Yeah, it's really it for me. I don't think I'm going to play Gortat here, even though I don't think this is a terrible spot for him. If I'm playing any center from this game, it's probably Miles Turner on the other side at 5,500.
Yeah, I think if I'm playing a center, it's probably not in this game. I'm probably playing one of the next game, to be honest.
Yeah, well, they're both in a good spot next game. I think that's very fair. Paul George, 8,200. I think he'll be popular too. If you fade John Wall and Paul George on this, you don't have to worry about the rest of your team ownership wise because they're just going to be so chalky on the slate.
Yeah, a guy that I really like in this spot, Monta Ellis. He's played over 30 minutes in each of the last two games. He's 3,700.
Don't mess with my boy Monte, man. He did it.
We've
last
been on night. It now. I think when did I join you? I joined you one of these games. Oh, the Milwaukee game. The first game we played over 30, and it's been a nice little run here for us.
I jumped off against San Antonio. I'm not going to lie to the listeners. There was no way I was playing Monta Ellis against San Antonio.
Oh, I did. I got him in there. I got some Danny Green. He did just fine. He got you that nice 7X multiplier. And what did they do? They played tonight, didn't they?
They played the Cavs, and he had another good game.
Yeah. The only thing I'm really worried about is a 3-4 or a 4-6, but whatever.
He looks good, man. He played 31 minutes, had 28.5 fantasy points, was one of those sleeper plays that nobody really talked about yesterday, and just continues to do really well.
Yeah, he might be the Greg Monroe of guards that like was left for dead, and then before you know it, they're like chalk.
I just don't think he was healthy. Like
Monroe wasn't healthy either. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like guys that you just like left for dead for like 6 weeks are coming back to life with these cheap price tags.
Yeah, well, Monta Ellis is that guy. Like he needs that explosive first step, and if he doesn't have it, like you know, it's nothing like it was 3 or 4 years ago. Don't get me wrong, but like he still needs it to be able to play his game.
Yeah, no, I like him a fair amount. And Jeff Teague, of course, I think is a chalky option, 7,400. He'll have a lot of traction on him tomorrow.
Yeah, and I don't mind him. Like I said, if you're going to fade Wall and George, you don't really have to worry about ownership, you know, for the rest of your team. You know, those guys are going to be so extremely popular here on the slate.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't mind Miles Turner, like I mentioned. What's your thoughts here on Seraphin if these other guys sit?
I think there's better options at power forward. I can't imagine going there.
Yeah, they went kind of small against Cleveland. Seraphin still played 27 minutes. Like, I don't know if you're going to need the money, but like he's probably going to be. And then you just play Monta Ellis, right? Yeah. Like, if you need the money, you just play Monta.
Like, there's Kelly Olynyk's a value option. Amir Johnson's a value option. Taj Gibson's a value option. Bobby Portis is an option if Mirotić sits. So, like, there's just, like, 19,000 power forward value options that are better than Kevin Seraphin.
Let's get to that game. Boston at Chicago, 212 total here. Chicago favored by one in this game. On the Boston side, you got to pay attention to Gerald Green. He rolled his ankle or did something where he had leave the game, didn't return. Questionable to play here on Thursday. Bradley out, Brown out. They guys were rolled out for the All-Star break. And then on the Chicago side, Mirotić returned to practice on Wednesday, but they said he's still on the doubtful side. Wade got a limited practice in. I would put him as questionable. Probably not going to play. We'll have to see. And then Zipster, questionable. We really haven't heard of much of an update there. We'll start with the Boston side. All these guys out. Do we continue to ride Marcus Smart?
Yeah, I think you do. And I think if Gerald Green sits, a guy that I would roster, you know, he's 3K. And there's not a single person on the planet that I think is crazy enough to roster him other than me on a two-game slate. James Young, this is the guy that made the roster over another fellow first-round pick that everyone thought was going to get the roster spot, RJ Hunter, that sharpshooter from Georgia State. And they kept James Young over him. And I believe, and I was trying to quickly pull this up, and the normal place I go to was down. I'm pretty sure he closed out this game tonight. They went small, and he was on the floor all the way to the end. If that's the case, that's kind of a rare confidence in a young guy there for the Celtics. And it looks like he did. He did close. And he ended up playing 22 minutes. And, of course, Gerald Green had played some in the first half. So you give him Gerald Green's minutes, give him 28 minutes. I think he's an interesting option at 3K.
Yeah, it's really need – you need Green to be ruled out, I think, though, right?
Yeah, but, like, I know he said he's optimistic to play, but, like, where the hell were you tonight then?
Yeah.
And I got to be honest, Young was playing a little bit before that, too. And, like, you know, I thought it was really interesting they rolled with him. Like, he had been playing since Jaylen Brown went down. He played 15 minutes in Utah. He played 12 minutes against Dallas. And he played 22 tonight. And he looked respectable. Put up 18 DK points. Like, I don't think that's, like, an outrageous number – regardless. Win a freaking $500,000, $4 tournament, you're going to have to do something off the board. And this just says this it. Like, this is a talented kid from Kentucky. He's 20 years old. He was a first-round pick. Like, if you're going to ever do it, this is the chance to do it.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I think that this is the spot. Like, last game.
Like, I would play him over Kelly Oubre for 200 more than I think would be, like, a popular let's YOLO play.
Yeah, what's your thoughts on Jay Crowder?
God, talk about a guy I just cannot get right now. Like, I've been on him. I hopped off tonight for Marcus Smart, and he just went bananas.
Not the best matchup either. Like, Jimmy Butler defense, Crowder getting Butler.
Covington defense wasn't exactly the world's best matchup for him either, and he did all right. So against Taj Gibson, you would think the Celtics are going to play Amir Johnson some more minutes, right? Like, I don't know. Like, why is Amir Johnson playing 15 minutes and Tyler Zeller playing minutes at the four? I don't know. The Celtics rotation is kind of confusing me right now, but normally a team I have a pretty good grasp on, but I would think Amir Johnson plays some more minutes. So I don't really want to take a chance on Crowder. I think, like, Marcus Smart's the guy. He's going to be super popular, and you can fade him, but I wouldn't want to.
Hey, we get news that Dwayne Wade sits. I think we need to attack the slate differently. If Wade plays, I think it makes a difference as well. If Wade's out, like Michael Carter-Williams against Isaiah Thomas, I think Michael Carter-Williams really fine play at 5,100. Isaiah Thomas.
They would hire Isaiah Thomas on Jerian Grant, unless they've completely lost their mind.
Yeah, but like even Grant, like I'm not playing Grant, obviously, but.
Well, the fact that you're saying I wouldn't play Grant means that they're going to put Isaiah on Grant.
Yeah, probably. I don't think they're going to worry too much about Michael Carter-Williams either, though.
But I think they can just put Marcus Smart on him.
Yeah,
they can put Jay Crowder on him. Like, I can't imagine a world because Michael Carter-Williams stands in the corner a ton. So it's like, I think for sure it's going to be Isaiah Thomas on Grant. Like, I think that's definitely the matchup. So, like, if you want to play Michael Carter-Williams, go ahead, but just don't say it's because he's going to get Isaiah D. In my opinion.
Yeah, that's fair points. Who's been coming off the bench? Is it – it's, I guess, Rondo or Cannon?
It's been Rondo. Rondo revenge.
Can you do it, though? Like, even going crazy on a three-game slate, one lineup, can you play Rondo?
It's a two-game slate, though.
Yeah, two-game slate.
He just played well against Toronto, didn't he?
Yeah, he's had – his last three of his last four games have been really solid.
Yeah, let's see. He played 24 minutes, put up 12 points, 4 assists, and three rebounds. I mean, I wouldn't be thrilled about that on a full slate, but on a two-game slate, not the worst thing I've seen.
He's just a vengeful person. Like, he's the guy that, if they give him 25 minutes against Boston, he got a chance to put up 30 fantasy points.
Yeah, and it's like Doug McDermott. The minutes for Chicago were so weird because Doug McDermott shot well for the first time all season. And they're like, holy beep. Like, maybe we can get him going, and they just left him on the floor. So, like, all the minutes are weird. So, like, I would expect Robin Lopez to play more than 21 minutes in this spot and Felicia to not play 27. But it's the Bulls, so who the hell knows?
Yeah. Man.
Outside of Jimmy Butler, it's a really tough team to, like, kind of figure out.
It's just one of those things. It's just sitting here going – I really
Someone's
don't
gonna win with a complete YOLO play from the Bulls side. Can I just say that right now? Like, the winning roster is gonna have a bull that is under 10%.
I just keep looking at it and I'm just like, I really don't wanna play this slate.
Stevie, we got a good question here. Yesterday you were on record saying this is the worst slate of the year. Are you taking it back now?
Listen, yesterday ended up being pretty chalky. Didn't get a lot of injury news like expected, like the past few years for All-Star break. And I'll eat my words. It ended up being a good slate, and it is what it is.
Wow.
Like, yeah, you got to own it, right? Like, I've been a guy that I feel like I've owned just about anything.
I'm with you. I just kept waiting for the NBA went contrarian on us with no injury news.
It was crazy, right?
14-game slate. Like, I just kept waiting to build my lineups. I was just like, all right, well, something's going to come down the pipeline here. Just waiting, 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 and it just never came.
made one lineup on my phone, and that's how I ended up doing. I actually doing really well, shockingly enough, making a lineup from my phone. But you know, everybody we really talked about on the podcast yesterday did really well, and it was a pretty chalky slate, so I'll take it.
Yeah, no, not for sure. It was fun.
That's it, man. I don't even. Do we even play our game today?
Yes, let's play the game.
Oh, jeez.
Let's see how dedicated this Twitter account is.
Yeah, let's see.
Will it post the game on a 2-game slate?
All right. For those of you who have not listened before, every day on
I'm sorry if this is the first time you've listened.
On draft
come game, back another day on a full slate.
We give out our favorite 6K or 6X, 7X guys, and then a guy over 8K that's going to go under 5X, and then our favorite 3K crapper.
Today so we're you can't veto the over. Oh, I guess you can't veto the over 8K. Dang it!
We're bumping the 3K guy to under 4K today. I'm making a
why? I want to play James Young. I had one. I had one ready to go.
I'm making an executive decision.
Fine.
These actually, James Young and Trey Burke aren't like too awful.
No.
No, we're not.
And oh. Terry Rozier.
Under 4K.
And Denzel Valentine.
Well, under 4K.
And Tyler Zeller. Like Aaron Brooks. Stuckey's 3K. Like there's actually options.
Under 4K.
All right.
7X. You get the bat lead off here today.
All right. Let's go with the 5X bust, John Wall. Veto.
No, I have to give it to you. Like, there's only one other guy that could technically bust over that price. So
well, there's two guys. I mean, there's a bunch of guys that could.
Well, technically, yeah, sure. I'll give you wall bust.
Woohoo!
I'll save my bust here. 6X guy is Markieff Morris.
That's fine.
And then 7X, Marcus Smart. Tough price to do it.
All right. Well, maybe he'll just shoot well one more game so we can raise his value at the trade deadline. I'll let you have it.
All right. You're up.
Kelly Olynyk, 6X.
All right.
Man, you're being so generous today. This is great. Let's go with – and this is probably where the generosity is going to end. 7X, Monta Ellis.
Yeah, no chance.
Yeah, I didn't think so. I think I was going to get away with that one. I tried. I could hedge life here and just go 7X Amir Johnson and try to just corner the market of whichever big place.
You could.
Could do that. Actually, no, I'm going to take Robin Lopez.
We didn't talk about him, but I do like him.
Yeah, I'll take him. Let's just take him. 4,400.
We didn't talk about Horford. I like him too.
Yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, Horford's torched the Chicago team in the past. Like I remember going for like some 70 burgers last year against this team.
Let's see. My busto is John or Paul George.
I still have my Vietnam left, right?
Yes.
Yeah. No chance. Have fun with that.
Oh, man.
Have fun with that one. I honestly just vetoed. Like, I hate Paul George and rooting for him under, but I just wanted to see Stevie's face as he kind of had to decide between Isaiah Thomas and Jimmy Butler. it was worth it, I swear.
It's never going to happen, but I'm going to go Isaiah Thomas just because he's $200 more.
It could happen. He's been busting at a pretty consistent rate lately, so it's not the craziest idea on a back to back.
All right, under 4K, who's your 7X guy?
Under 4K, it's probably Monta Ellis, to be honest. Was that yours? I can pick another one.
No, Ellis was fine.
Yeah, that's the guy I would pick. Getting first dibs at it.
Yep, that's who you should have picked. Dude, I'm going to ride it. I'm going to say James Young.
Yeah, come along the James Young train. We can trade those if you want. Like, I'll take my boy, and you can have your boy if you want. I feel like an asshole for taking your boy.
No, it's fine, man. Hedge life.
Hedge life. Hedge life, indeed.
All right, you got any Sieges NHL stack 'em up plays for Thursday slate?
I do, actually.
You've been on fire with these, by the way. This might have to be like a regular segment.
Yeah, it's been kind of creepy with the amount of accuracy I've been on that. Like the Bruins went and scored 6 goals or something, and then I picked them the other day.
You realize it ends now that we're talking about it, right?
I know, for sure. And it's kind of a weird slate. Like there's gonna be a random game in here that kind of just goes really, really high. Like there's the chalk is gonna be Winnipeg and Pittsburgh, and anytime Pittsburgh's chalk, I always find ways to fade them. So for me, I would take a stab on Minnesota will probably be the second most popular team, but I like them a bunch. And I would also just take a stab in tournaments on the Colorado Avalanche. I know they got one of the lower team totals on the night, but I kind of like them against Buffalo. Buffalo can blow up at any time. And on national TV is a nice spot for Buffalo to do Buffalo things.
Yeah, all right. Hockey's not my forte. I've mentioned that many times. I am not going to try to comment on anything. Let it ride with Siege Dollars is where I'm at. I said we'll talk some NASCAR. We'll talk some NASCAR here. The Clash is this weekend. It's Saturday night, 8 p.m. If you guys don't know what the Clash is, it's a 70-lap race at Daytona. 17 cars. You either had to win a race last year's in, you had to be a past champion at this or a past winner of this event, or you had to get a pole. Like, if you get a pole, a winner, or a past winner of this event, that's how you get into this event. There's 17 cars this weekend. Really, like, looking at the loop data, you know, looking at past data, the two things I'm going to say here, it's 70 laps, so nobody has ever led, since 2005, nobody that is racing this weekend has led more than 11.6% of the laps. So the laps led points are really not going to matter too much. Since 2005, nobody has more than 32 fastest laps. And Denny Hamlin actually has the most fastest laps. He's third highest in percentage of laps led. He won this last season. Was super solid. You know, the most thing you're going to value here, and obviously I'm going to dig a lot more deeper once we get starting positions in the NASCAR package Friday afternoon. But, you know, you really got to factor in starting position this weekend a lot. You know, probably not the best strategy to play like 2 or 3, 4 guys from the starting five. You know, past data, it really just, you kind of throw that out the window. I'm not going to lie to you. Like, did they bring these cars with the intent of winning the race? And if they have to roll them up, destroyed onto the wrecker, they don't care. So, like, this is one of the most, probably the most variance race of the year, because they're just, all they're trying to do this weekend is win.
And what happens if they win exactly? Like, what's the prize?
It's money.
Oh,
I don't know what it is off the top of my head.
That's a universally well accepted prize.
I haven't seen it. I think it was $100,000 last year.
That's not pocket change.
No, it's a lot of money, man. So I don't, it might even have been more than that. So I don't know exactly what it is off the top of my head.
Sorry, I didn't mean to throw you on the spot. I was just curious, like, if it was money, points. I didn't know what it was, so I was just curious.
He should have been doing points this season. Here, I'm pulling up the update here. It's 75 laps. My fault. Oh, they're doing a competition caution at lap 25. So the first 25 laps are going to be super chalky. They're going to run out and probably just go too wide. Not a lot going on in those first 25 laps, if I had to guess.
The last 50 are just going to be insane.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tournaments only, Stevie? Is that what you're saying here?
No, I think I'll play cash. I played cash last year. We did have 22 drivers last year. The pricing is extremely soft. I'm hoping that it's just for the Clash, and that's not what we're going to see for the regular season here. They don't have an announcement of what they're going to be giving away for first place this year. From what I'm seeing, I'm looking on the NASCAR site and everything. I don't see anything. So no prize announced yet.
I'm sure it's announced. You just can't find it, but that's okay.
I've looked on like 3 different spots.
Yeah. Well, this is why you're the media guy. You're supposed to know these things.
I am supposed to know these things.
That's all right. We'll give you our
whole time. No, they're not giving away points for the clash. They're giving away points for the duels next week. So
okay. All right.
So really, well, what if you want to know the answer to
this question, Stevie will have it in his tournament package.
Yeah, I will. You're racing for the win this season in this race. That's what you're doing.
So that's always good to know.
Yeah. So it's the poll winners. There's 14 poll winners, two former Clash winners, former Daytona 500 poll winner Danica Patrick, and three Chase drivers. And it ends up being only 17 drivers because a couple of these guys are not actually in NASCAR anymore.
Oh, like Carl Edwards?
Well, Carl Edwards' car is actually going to be run by Suarez. They gave him the go. That was really interesting. They
want to get some extra drivers in there.
Yeah, but it was weird because they didn't let Clint Bowyer do Tony Stewart, and Tony Stewart is a former Clash winner, so they did not let Bowyer have or Stewart's car in there. So it was interesting that they allowed Suarez. Greg Biffle was one of those guys. He's not in NASCAR right now, so it ended up being only 17 cars.
So you got some high ownership on some cars, and I'm just pumped for NASCAR.
For NASCAR too. This weekend is not one of those weekends you get super excited about because it is go big or go home type weekend. But like I said, I crushed this slate last year. There's still an edge, and then when there's an edge, I'm still going to take advantage of it. And I'll definitely talk about that more in the video that I'm going to record for the NASCAR package once we get starting spots available. And I'll have some picks, and I'll rank these guys 1 through 17 for everybody. So there'll be a little bit to be desired. And like I didn't even mention it, but this week, without having the full package available with projections and everything this week, we're doing a $5 package. So you get a discount here. So if you've been wanting to try out the package, this is a good place. No NBA this weekend, and get your feet wet.
Yeah, absolutely.
Plus, with that $5, man, you get the access to the videos that I've already recorded, like talking about like what you need to know in NASCAR and what to look for and stuff like that. So it's more than just this week.
Yeah, no, for sure. I had a lot of people telling me too, asking me like what you can do for NBA during the All-Star break. And I think I saw a question on Twitter. Like, I use the All-Star break as a big study week. So like, I have a bunch of lessons, and I actually have more spots over the weekend if anybody's interested, or over the next week or so. Like, I go back and I look at like the past slates for the week. Like, I store all my data, and I can pull in the results of like what they did, and you can compare and contrast. Like, okay, what did you think? Kind of what happened? Was there variance involved, or was it maybe like you missed a play or whatnot? So there's a lot of review you can be doing and kind of looking at your lineup construction and stuff during the break. So don't take it off. Like, you know, you got about 2 months left of solid NBA here. This is the chance for you to kind of evaluate what you've been doing so far, and don't take it off. Don't go golfing every single day. Well, maybe most of the days.
Yeah, I'm definitely playing golf tomorrow. So, like, the All-Star break, I will say that up until last year was the first time we had a Daytona 500 slate. They picked up NASCAR in the middle of last year or the year before that. Usually I used to use the All-Star break to start prepping for baseball. That's another thing you can start doing if you don't plan on doing NASCAR, if you don't want to, you know, continue to push with NBA. You can start getting ready for baseball. Start, you know, one of the hardest things to do in baseball is where did everybody end up in the offseason is the hardest part.
Right?
Like I saw Bartolo Colon in a Braves uniform today.
Oh, come on. That one I knew. Come on. You knew that one. It was at the first signing of the offseason.
Listen, once baseball ends, when baseball grind is over, you as well as I know, it's 162 games, which probably breaks down to 200 actual days of every day grinding 2 to 3 hours worth of research. And, you know, baseball, research-wise, baseball is by far you spend the most time researching.
Really? I spend way more time on basketball.
Yeah, well, basketball is. But you play a higher volume in basketball than I do.
Yeah.
I play, you know, I play very little basketball.
God, I'm ready. I learned so much in baseball last year. I'm ready to get a crap, like, swing at it over the full year.
Baseball was good to me last year. NASCAR was really good. So, like, Christmas is coming for me, friends. It is coming.
Man, I'm pumped for NASCAR. NASCAR was one of my best sports. I told this Stevie off air, but I'll tell it on air. Like, ROI-wise, NASCAR was one of my highest sports, and I know nothing. That's not true. I know more than nothing.
You know more than nothing now.
I know nothing more than nothing, but let's just say, like, 85% of my knowledge came from Stevie. 90%? Somewhere in there.
I can't wait to get you out to a track this year.
I've been saving air miles ever since you told me last year was a possibility, my friend.
No, we're going to make it happen. I want to get you out to a track that's fun. Maybe like something like Bristol or something. Short track racing is really fun to watch. So I'm going to get you out to a track this year. It's going to be fun. Don't you worry. We're going to make that happen. And, you know, NASCAR is fun. The sweat is insane. You're sweating so much now. And then with the new rules this season, where if they're in the pits for more than 5 minutes, they got to park the car. And if they go into the garage, they can't come back out. Like, when I hated it initially, and I think the more I think about it, I think it's going to help variance-wise, because a lot of those accidents happen at the back of the pack with these cars that are already damaged. So I'm liking what they're doing. They're cleaning up the sport. They're bringing the sport into 2017 instead of 1995. So I like what they're doing with the sport. I think they're making it more interesting. It's going to be fun to watch as a fan. I can't wait for the Daytona 500, man, to see how these segments are going to play out, where they're paying points. Like, there's no more riding at the back of the field and just hoping you get there. There's so many points that are going to be available during the races. So, for sure.
It's going to be fun. I'm pumped. I'm ready.
We got a bunch of questions on Twitter. Let's get to some of these questions, and then we'll get out of here. We all know you hate John Wall, but is he in play for cash? Don't play cash.
Next.
How do you manage bankroll? What percentage roughly do you play? How sites dictate how much you play? Well, I will say when I first started, bankroll management was awful for me, and I've gotten a lot better at it as I've gone forward. Sports like NASCAR and NFL, where it's once a week, I'll play a lot more of my bankroll than I will in an MLB slate or an NBA slate. Those daily sports, you know, you could go on cold streaks where you lose for 2 weeks straight if you're a tournament player.
2 months.
Yeah,
two months.
it's very possible. And then, like, one night you just bank a tournament. So you got to be really, cautious with your bankroll if you're playing in tournaments. If you're a cash game player, there's strict rules where you play 70% cash and then like 30% double ups or 80% cash. It's really for you to decide, like, what is your actual bankroll? Do you have money set aside that is your actual bankroll? If you run out of that bankroll, are you going to redeposit? Because then that's not your actual bankroll. Really, it's for you to decide, and that's how I feel. What's your thoughts, CJ?
Yeah, I feel like bankroll management's just overrated. Like, if you're like for a casual player, like for you or for me or guys that are doing this for a living, it's a little different of an equation. But like for the casual guy, like if you're listening to the podcast and you're playing like $4 or $3 entries in tournaments, like if you can afford to do that, where you're not stressing out about it and you're enjoying it and it's entertainment, and you can watch the games with a beer, then that's your bankroll management.
Yeah,
like, I just think we're like, you have to do this and this and this. And like, we just like our content sometimes is so focused and getting guys on the grind. Like, you can just be a profitable tournament player over a couple years and just have fun with it.
Yeah, you don't have to pay
taxes. You don't have to grind it out like every single day. Like, it doesn't have to be that way. So like, if you know, for me, that's kind of what I would recommend is just, you know, keep it fun. It's the moment this doesn't become fun for you, then you need to reexamine your bankroll because you're not doing that right. That's when, like, you know, even if I get stressed out, maybe I'm just like, all right, is my bankroll fine or am I just pissed off at the damn sport? You know, so it's just like there's certain things you have to worry about. I mean, not that I've really ever been worried about my bankroll, but it's just a situation where it's just like you have to make sure you're having fun with it, because if you're not having fun with it, you're not making optimal decisions, and that's going to kind of just spiral down on you.
No, and I agree with that, and then, like, the question about, like, how a slate dictates it. If you don't like a slate, don't play. Like, yesterday, I tweeted to you. I said that I hated this slate, and I thought it was awful. It was a 14-game slate. I thought we were going to have a ton of injury news. So I ended up playing one team across, like, I made an optimal team. I put it in 27, the 9. I played all the NASCAR, like, satellites, and that's what I did. Like, I just didn't like the slate. I wasn't gonna script a slate that I didn't like. So I feel like something over the last 2 or 3 years that I've gotten better about is if I don't like the slate, I just won't play it a lot.
Yeah, especially in the daily sports. You know how many slates you get? Like, it's a little different in football. Or, you know, you got a NASCAR. You're going to kind of just have to grind that out because you only got
There's no such thing as a bad NASCAR slate, my friend.
I mean, I've never heard you say that. I'm just hypothetically, you know, those weekly sports. Like, you're going to play them, but like in the daily sports, you know. Well, you know what happens if you don't play a day of baseball? You've got 175 more days to play. And you got some day slates and some afternoon slates. Like, you've got probably like 250 slates to go. You can take one off.
No, I agree, man. Like, football, it's really hard to take a football slate off. You got 17 weeks plus a little bit of playoffs. Like, it's much different.
You got 17 weeks. And you really don't have 17. You really have 16 good ones. So,
all right, let's move on here. Spend up at point guard or take Rondo versus Isaiah defense?
I don't know how much Isaiah Rondo is actually going to see. Their minutes feel like they're going to be kind of very not on the court at the same time together. So I wouldn't mind playing Rondo in a tournament, but I wouldn't be Isaiah Tart defense is the reason I'm going for it.
Yeah, we talked about that. Like, you know, looking overall at point guards, probably end up with some Smart at point guard. I'll probably end up with some Teague, you know, just looking at it, you know, glance. It's the night before. We always record the podcast the night before. I haven't even started to think about roster construction yet. Like, our job is just to break down the games and guys give you a general over idea.
Oh, man. No, I got a good tweet, and I was just like, the answer to that is no. A buddy tweeted me, he's like, you know, did you see the Valentine's slate where they locked it early so people could go out with their girlfriends? Did you see that? The one that lit that 4 hours before lock?
That was awful.
My buddy tweeted at me. He said they should have done that to golf, and I was just like, "No, I haven't even started my research yet. Like, that'd be disastrous."
Oh man, is Butler a lock with Wade more likely to sit? Wade's out. I think Butler is one of the better plays.
I'm all for feeding some shot plays, but Butler would not be that one.
Yeah, I'm with you there.
Unless you're stacking Washington, Indiana, which you could do.
Can you guys talk a little NASCAR since NBA slate sucks? Yes, we did that. Do you guys prefer cash or GPP on a two-game slate? I think we made that very, very, very clear.
Yep.
How does NASCAR work? Never tried it before. Spend $5
on the NASCAR package.
Yeah, go watch the video and, you know, kind of listen to what I have to say this weekend. What's your best and worst hot and cold streak in DFS?
I went massively cold during NBA season this year. I went like – actually, I'm kind of still on it. Like 6.5 weeks. Yeah, I had one good week in there, which kind of like saved it, but not really. But, yeah, it's been a rough 6 weeks for me in NBA.
I'm
doing my worst streak ever.
I feel like NBA was my worst, like, last year before. I lost a lot of money in NBA. And I qualified for 2 live finals as I was on a losing streak. It was just awful.
Yeah, it's bad in the last 6 weeks of NBA.
But my hottest streak was baseball last season. Not last season, the season before. I went on like a 28 or 38 straight night win streak. I qualified for 2 live finals in that period. I was just – everything, I was just super hot. Like, I just couldn't be wrong about anything in baseball, and it was the sickest run I've ever had.
Yeah, a year ago, 2015, 2016, from, like, November when I won the Aces College Football Final through, like, end of January, I could do no wrong. Like, I max entered the FanDuel Playboy queue in 3 days. Like, they had 4 queues, and I won 3 of the 4 during that stretch. It was just absurd. Anything I touched. Remember, I touched Mo Harkless at 0.1%. He went for 42. It was just – could do no wrong.
Paul George will be guarded by Otto Porter, ? Who's going to guard Markieff Morris, and is Lopez guarding Horford on perimeter?
That's a good point with Lopez. I wish I hadn't taken him for the value pick. Hopefully Amir plays some minutes. I think they would try to use Taj out there if they could, if Amir's on the floor. But if it's Kelly on the floor, they're going to have some issues.
Yeah. I don't know who's going to guard Markieff Morris. Nobody. He's going to have a big game.
Yeah.
Is track history a thing? Should I be weighing it heavily, especially with Daytona? What other things should I be looking at? Not to give away too much, because I did talk about this in the video. Track history is definitely a thing. If you're looking at the last like 2 years, there's been a lot of package changes and stuff over the last year with these cars. So track history is definitely a thing. It's not something that I like weigh a lot on my research, but it's definitely a thing that you can look at early in the week. It's a weekly sport. So if you want to spend some time on that Monday and Tuesday, that's usually what I do. I spend about an hour on track history to look at, you know, some certain sets that I did talk about in the video that I recorded on the package. What sites do you use for research besides Rotor Grinders? For basketball, there's so many. There's Wally. So many. I don't even use that anymore. Our quarter IQ is just so good that
I like the five on. I like the five the lineups thing they have there.
Yeah, it's solid. StatMuse is really good when you're wanting to look at specific stats.
Three ball. At least three ball.
NBA or ESPN has some really good defensive plus minus stats too.
I like going through the beat reporter list for Twitter that I have. I normally just use for information. I like sometimes reading their articles, like their post-game articles. They have some good nuggets in there from time to time.
Should I play 10% of everyone in GPPs tomorrow? That is the tweet of the night.
I saw that. I knew you liked that one.
So solid. How do you measure what a driver will do in qualifying compared to what will happen in the race? That's just too much to get into. Not enough time. We all know it's time to gear up for NBA, yes. Or MLB, yes. How much stock do I put in starting position for NASCAR? It's one of the most important things when you're doing research. I will say that.
I like all these NASCAR questions, though. This is awesome.
Yeah, a lot of NASCAR questions here. Honestly, starting position is probably the most important thing in fantasy NASCAR. I will say that. How do you build a lineup for 3 to 100 lineups?
That's a long question. Next.
Yeah, like seriously, if you're building 3 lineups, I'm probably doing them all by hand. If I'm building 100, I'm probably using the Roto-Grinders lineup builder. That's easy enough.
Yeah.
Is NASCAR pricing too soft? I don't think it's too soft for a 17 rate or 17 field 75 lap race. If they
better not be this soft for the 500.
Yeah, I really hope we don't see Matt Kenseth. It was some ridiculous price. Like
it was like 73. Hold on, let me pull it up.
He's gonna be like the highest owned driver this weekend. Hopefully, I want Matt Kenseth to like get the pole so I can fade him. He's 7,200. It's just a ridiculous price.
Yeah.
You
want him to pull? I thought you would want him like 6th or 7th.
Nope. I would actually probably play him at 6th or 7th. He's a guy that's going to move up. But the one thing that I do need to check, they have Alex Bowman on the DraftKings page. I'm almost like 99.9% sure that it's Dale Earnhardt Jr. So that is going to be – people are going to take zeros there, and I'm going to definitely talk about that in the package more. I got to do a little bit more research on that. I just noticed that.
There you go. You're getting some insight knowledge here on the podcast.
No, I'm doing it right now. I'm pulling up the entry list on the NASCAR media site. Entry list. No, Alex Bowman is the entered driver. Why? That's weird. I don't know why they would.
See, that's funny because I have another list and I have it as Dale Earnhardt Jr.
I'm on the NASCAR media site and it says Alex Bowman. I'm definitely going to.
Oh, here it is. Why is Bowman driving the car? How can they both be in the? Are they both in the race? Wait, what? They won't. Alex Bowman, yeah. Alex Bowman's driving the 88.
Yeah.
As a nod to the work he did as a substitute. Dale's in the TV booth, actually.
Nope. That's what I'm saying. I'm on the. Okay, so there won't be a lot of zeros there. That's interesting. He's definitely going to be a guy at 7,800 that a lot of people probably won't take, and we'll have to see where he starts.
Start like 13th or something. All right, I'm going to stop giving away information now.
How much lineups do you play a night? It all depends on the slate.
Yeah, and what the sport is.
Just want to say the two of you have a great rap. How did you guys meet? I don't know if we met here, if we met on Fantasy Bootcamp, or if I think the first time we actually met in person was when we played golf in Vegas.
Oh, Vegas, that's right. Dang it. I was hoping it was Theo Day, but you're right, it was Vegas. Dang it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. Remember that? That was God, it was the most tilting day of my DFS career because I wanted to play James Jones, and I couldn't find a site to play James Jones on, and everybody's freaking was all –
What are you talking about? When we played golf in Vegas, you qualified for a live final. I don't want to hear that shit.
Oh, man. I wanted to play James Jones, though, the opening week, and he wasn't available because he was in a waiver cut. And there was this back when they had the stupid rule that you couldn't play guys that changed between week four and week one. And everybody was on Davante Adams. You know what? Oh, he's such a great player. And I was like, nope, he's going to go to the guy he's got red zone chemistry with. And I found the site I could play him on when 100% he had like 40 DK or he had like 40 DK points.
I heard there were changes in NASCAR this year. How much does that change your approach DFS wise?
Get the package.
No, honestly, I'll talk about that for a second. Like, really, it's going to change probably how many dominators you want in your lineup. Obviously, that'll be talked about throughout the year in the package. It's not going to matter too much for Daytona. So, really, I think that with the race stopping three times, I think that, honestly, we're going to see more spread out leaders. I don't think we're going to see a Martin Truex dominant, you know, lead 99% of the laps like we did last year at Charlotte. So why can't they figure out a cross-sport NHL NBA slate? That'd be interesting.
By the way, I have the answer for you on Edwards versus Stewart. So Edwards is not officially retired. He stepped away, so they allowed his replacement. But since Stewart is retired, they wouldn't let their replacement driver come in.
Yeah, that step away thing. We're going to see Carl Edwards in 2018. We can talk more about that off air, but
I want to, so we'll do that. Let's end the pod.
On two game slate, is scripting the only way to approach the slate? No.
Is it the only way?
I won't be scripting. I'm sure you won't.
Unless you have a suicide mission. No, don't script the two game slate.
This is interesting. Which golfers will you be most overweight on this weekend?
I actually have, I can tell you the answer to that. Hold on.
You haven't started your research yet.
Yeah, it started a little bit. Because I have to do the one and done. I'm in the one and done pool, and so I took JB Holmes in the one and done, so I'll be super overweight on JB this week. I like DJ a little bit. If you're looking for a super contrarian play, so the pricing on the golf is just so hilariously bad that some of these value plays were like 1%. I like No. He's a Korean golfer. He's been playing really well, and I like him a lot. He's at 7,400.
What are your thoughts on Harvick? I'll let you know Friday afternoon. I have no thoughts on no drivers at this point just because I don't know where they're starting. So,
more of a clue that starting position is the only thing that matters.
I will say Friday afternoon, I don't know if it's going to be from the Roto Grinders Periscope or from my Periscope. I'm going to Periscope the live drawings for where they put the drivers, where they're starting. It's a live drawing for the Clash. So, Periscoped it last year. A ton of people loved it, so I'm going to do it again here on Friday. I don't have the
exact... Do you know what time it is?
Yeah, I can actually tell you right now. Hold on. I'm still on the media site, so I can pull that up. Friday.
During the All-Star break, this sounds like a really fun, entertaining activity.
Random drawing Fridays at 3:30 Eastern.
All right, 3:30 Eastern. We'll put that into the calendar, baby. NASCAR drawing.
We somehow extended this podcast long enough that we rambled enough. Hopefully there's enough good information. CJ, any final thoughts, my friend?
Nah, we did it.
Let's get out of here. All right, guys, thanks for listening. Enjoy the All-Star break. I don't know if we'll have a podcast tomorrow or not. Probably not. That's going to do it here for the Siege. I'm Stevie TPFL. Good luck in your contest tonight. We'll see you then.